Well, it's about time. People tend to say it's about time as if they're waiting for something, but the success of the book, The Girl on the Train, which led to the movie Girl on the Train, really Paula Hawkins' bestseller, came out at the right time in the vacuum of Gone Girl having just finished its movie release and its book run-up. Girl on the Train managed to sort of take over the female sociopath, disjointed narrator void that had been left in society by milking the premise of Gone Girl to extinction. And so this film is made, and the book, which I read, is a good book. It's definitely very readable. It goes by quickly. The problem with it is in the ending, which is just an abysmal, brutal, spoiler alert ending I'm going to spoil here. But it's so unbelievably bad that I don't think it spoils the book. If you took the ending and tore the pages out and ended the book early, it would still be a very useful read in terms of killing the time that has to pass while we're on this planet. Is that a ringing endorsement? Not exactly. I think it may be just because I recently saw the film. The film has the beautiful and talented Emily Blunt. She's very fun to watch in the film. She's got good and interesting expressions. She's not really the type of person you would think of as the main character. For one, she's simply too attractive to be believable in that role from the book. Hayley Bennett, again, also just released in the movie remake of Magnificent Seven, is mostly naked throughout the film in different ways, and then Justin Theroux, who happens to be Paul Theroux's, I think, nephew, a strange cameo by Lisa Kudrow as well, and Laura Prepon from Orange is the New Black, Piper's girlfriend from the first season. She's in it as well. So there's a few sort of disjointed cameos. And the film itself, it just doesn't create any movement. There's no kinesis in anything that happens. The wonderful thing about the book is that you don't really know whether the main character has killed this woman or not. And that's sort of the premise that you buy in on. And it's told backwards, like in narrative chunks. So you start with the present, then you jump back to a year ago, you jump forward to 3 months from now. And this detective work causes you to, in your brain, to put together whether you think she did it or not based on the black holes that she has from her blackout drunk episodes. When you finally get to the end, when spoiling it, it turns out her old husband had sort of convinced her she was an abusive drunk, and he's the one who did everything, and then he's the one who's killed the woman, and now he's going to maybe kill the new woman. It's a disappointingly, ridiculously easy way to get out of a painted corner, which the joy of the book was in the painted corner, but the movie itself really has very little joy. Because nothing much happens, it's a lot of time on the train watching things go by. There's a few interrogations by detectives, but the director really has no clear idea of how he ever intended to create something, which is mostly just a psychological jigsaw puzzle. But how to turn that into a movie that's watchable is something that he really needs to watch the Silence of the Lambs movie to get a primer on. There are ways to do it, simply showing chunks from the book where people are just talking to people and expecting that in 2 hours someone's going to be so invested in figuring out who done it that they'll enjoy the experience. And also showing sort of gratuitous sex with the main female characters. Actually, maybe that does work. So it's a great movie. Everybody should see it.